Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world, so keep it tuned right here. And oh, what a special surprise we have for you tonight. As I've mentioned to you already earlier in the program, of course, for over 2 years, I've been dying to talk about the experiment that my team and I did related to this major new motion picture that's going to come out next Friday, August 24th, called The Apparition. Big Warner Brothers project, has a lot of big stars in it, Ashley Green from Twilight, Tom Felton from Harry Potter, and this is the first really big major motion picture for director Todd Lincoln, who actually created this whole concept. He wrote this script, and it's fascinating on a number of levels, because in my conversations with Todd Lincoln, I can tell you that he is a guy who understands what it's like to put magic on the screen. Remember those days when you'd go and you'd watch like those Spielberg movies from the 80s, and of course, a lot of them were very paranormal, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Poltergeist, of course, was produced by Spielberg. We have E.T., and it seems like to a certain extent, some of the paranormal content has now just become kind of old hat. Well, Todd Lincoln is making it his mission to look into groundbreaking theories, groundbreaking science, and try to recreate some of that magic that has been missing from the screen for a long time. So we have a ton of material we're going to try to cover this hour for you. And it's a great honor to say, Todd Lincoln, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Hey, thanks, Joshua. Happy to be here.
Well, this is one that I know you've been doing a ton of interviews, but this is one I think you'll find especially interesting, because we do have some people here in the studio who were there firsthand to see what happened with the experiment. And, you know, the funny thing, Todd, is that frequently you'll watch a movie and it will say this film is based on a true story, but it's very rare for what was sort of imagined to actually become a real story after the fact within the same project. It's very weird how all this has worked out. So let me just ask you, first off, how in the world did this begin for you? How does a filmmaker from Tulsa, Oklahoma, come up with this concept and then get into the position to make this movie with Warner Brothers?
Well, yeah, well, you know, I've from a very young age, I've always been interested in the macabre and the paranormal and supernatural and cryptozoology and conspiracy type stuff, and I've always, you know, sought that out and dug for that stuff. And my childhood home in Tulsa was this historic home that was supposedly haunted, and I experienced all kinds of strange happenings in there, and I think that also piqued my curiosity to seek some of this stuff out and search for answers and, you know, shine a flashlight into the darkness. And but yeah, really, I had been digging late online one night, probably on a Saturday night, and this wasn't for work or research, but something I do for fun in my own time. And I'd come across some stories on different sites about experiments that were being done or tried out, and sort of based on this initial the Philip experiment from the early mid-70s there, of this group to set out to test the power of, you know, belief and the idea that a lot of paranormal events only happen because people believed they would or believed enough they were going to happen. And, you know, that group had some interesting things happening, and some pounding on tables or a thump from the corner of the room or the table tipping on its side, and they became so terrified that, you know, they stopped that experiment. And and since then, you know, others have started to build their own theories and bring on their own technology. And then actually been, you know, probably a couple of months later, I was driving around Burbank, California here, and went to In-N-Out Hamburgers and went through the drive-thru and got my In-N-Out, and I was parked in the In-N-Out Hamburger parking lot eating my burger and fries, and was actually listening to Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, and you were the guest that night, and you were actually talking about full body apparitions and some of your experiences in the field and you doing some new experiments. And so that's when I just begun to develop the apparition, which was, you know, based on this concept of this group of parapsychology students setting out to create a ghost or create an apparition from the power of belief. And, you know, I wanted to do this right and do it authentic for movie fans, horror fans, paranormal fans, and experts. And, yeah, so I reached out to you and then wanted to bring you on as a consultant, and then found out that you were doing your own amped up, original experiment. And, we had several conversations and really inspired, a lot of stuff in my film. And I guess, you can talk about how some of this end up inspiring your own experiment.
Absolutely, because, and by the way, that's just another great example of synchronicity, that at the right time, under the right circumstances, we found out about each other. And, of course, I was sent the script. The first thing I was asked was, how do we go through and make sure that the equipment is the right kind of equipment, and what kind of jargon would be used? I mean, how would this be done believably? And once I read the script, I went over to the laboratory with Forrest Connor, my producer here, and also investigator Shelley Wright, who is in the studio. Say hi, Shelley.
Hi.
And we started going through the lab and thinking, like, okay, college students, they're probably using a lot of secondhand stuff. They're scrounging around. They're hooking things together and trying to figure out how to create a groundbreaking moment using this stuff in a way that it was not maybe originally intended to be used. And we set all this stuff up in the laboratory, and there was this light bulb moment where, even though we've been doing a lot of experiments, creating something that was so specific to what you had envisioned in the script, I turned to Forrest and I said, I believe if we hit the power button right now, we could do this experiment. This goes beyond finding the right props and things. This is something that can be done. And so that's when, of course, I went out to L.A., worked some on the set with you guys, and then apparently everybody there got the idea, well, hey, if you can do it, let's do it. And so, we had Josh Orak and some of his folks, and they came here to Asheville, and we set this thing up, and we hit the button, and and things got really, really crazy. To begin with, let me just let you know a little bit about who we have in the studio. Okay, you know how in your experiment, Todd, you envisioned that there would be at least one person who would have pretty much some kind of apparatus hooked up to his or her brain, and it would amplify that person's brain power, so to speak, so that one person thinking about a particular thought would equal maybe hundreds of thousands of people thinking about that same thing, right?
Right, right. Well, no, I was fascinated with that.
Well, the person that we used, the actual brain that we used in our experiment, was the brain of Shelley Wright. Now, Shelley, tell Todd some of the grueling stuff that you endured for us to produce this experiment.
Joshua let Mobius.
Am I?
Oh, okay, there you go. Okay,
all right.
Your mic was
up. Yes, Joshua let my head be sandpapered. That was
wow.
One thing. And actually, that was the best part of it, because before, I believe that he and Mobius were talking about shaving portions of my head for this.
And Shelley has a famous, big, thick, red head of hair, so she was not happy about any suggestion along those lines. And Shelley, why did we pick you to be the subject here to produce the brain power?
Why did you pick me?
Well, you've always said that you are a manifester, that,
yes,
you know, you envision things happening, and in fact, Todd and I have talked about this very topic. You manifest things in your life all the time anyway.
Yes, yes.
So we figured, hey, we hook this stuff up to your head. We have an advantage to begin with here. And literally, for those of you who are listening and you may not have a lot of technical experience, what we did was we hooked her head to an EEG or a type machine that took her brainwave signals, and then it boosted them dramatically so that it would equal, again, the amount of power coming out of hundreds of thousands of people's heads. We broadcast those through a Tesla coil so that it was broadcasting over a range of many, many miles. And at the same time, Shelley, you were in a separate room looking at a monitor of a little statue that actually, Forrest, you provided. And Forrest, what's the story behind the statue we used?
The statue was a tiki statue. She came from Hawaii for luck.
Mm-hmm. So we figured that was better than, you know, manifesting some kind of horrible, you know, warlord or something.
Well, it had a big ugly face. And
he was an ugly looking thing, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. And so she's looking at this little tiki statue, and at the same time, we have all these special cameras, a Schlieren optical imaging system that will allow us to see any slight change in air density in that room. We had third-generation night vision being employed by Dean Worsing. I believe Joe Southards was using strobe glasses, LCD shutter glasses. I mean, we were charging the room up with electrostatic fields. I mean, we were doing it all. This was a big, crazy, chaotic thing, and we were producing fields that we can't even imagine. Now, so Shelley is trying to create this tiki spirit, some type of representation of this thing. And we cranked up all of the equipment, and we had set it up so that every time a field was produced, it would be compounded. And so these fields became more and more compounded, enhanced, and finally, we created so much energy that we just, after about an hour, we just fried a lot of our technology. Just boom, gone. Mm. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I will tell you what happened after we did this experiment. The question here, once again, folks, is it possible that we create ghostly phenomena with our brains, with our minds, and that if it is enhanced by technology, we can literally create ghosts on demand? That's what the Apparition movie is about, which comes out next Friday. When we return, we'll continue this conversation with Todd Lincoln, director of The Apparition. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, you are listening to Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And remember, this coming Friday, August 24th, The Apparition finally debuts. And, you know, get out there and check this thing out. I have not seen the film yet, but you can watch the trailer and tell it's going to be a good one. We're about to tell you what happened when we literally did the experiment that Todd Lincoln, director of this film, wrote about in the screenplay. And before we get to those results, so Todd, since this is such kind of a groundbreaking novel concept to most people who are not really into the paranormal, when you first went to Warner Brothers and told them the concept, and I know you're working with some huge people, Joel Silver, he's produced a ton of just gargantuan projects, did they get it immediately, or did you have to work to explain this to them?
Well, you know, they did get it immediately. They immediately responded to this idea of creating a ghost or an apparition from the power of your mind and belief and using some of this gear. And so Joel Silver, who is a huge fan of ghost movies and haunted house movies, he had been looking for, you know, a new way into one of these films. And, you know, I basically had thought this was a fresh way in, a terrifying way in, and was an exciting new way into a horror film or ghost film. And of course, you know, this is not about a haunted house and, you know, nobody ever died in this house. There's no Indian burial ground. And this also isn't about, you know, the ghost of even a human. This is really this inhuman, dark, malevolent entity that was created from this experiment that these university parapsychologists do. So everybody there immediately got it and were excited. And the important thing for me was to, you know, avoid all the typical horror movie realities and the sort of horror world, horror bubble that so many films get stuck in, the sort of go-to grimy, gritty, grungy production design and the typical locales and settings, and just try to come up with this in a really grounded, authentic, you know, realistic place and have it set in a very contemporary setting of the America of today with the, you know, suburban sprawl and foreclosed homes and big box stores and corporate franchise restaurants, that among all this stuff, that, you know, stuff like this can be going on in a house or at a university or in a basement. And then, of course, you know, once I got in contact with you, I got even more excited that you were already exploring some of this stuff. And I just think there's really something to this idea of the power of, you know, belief, concentration, and fear.
Well, you know, for us, the scariest part was hooking Shelley Wright's brain up to be the first human to supercharge. She's shooting me a very interesting gesture in the studio right now.
That was the best part.
Yeah. And so, Shelley, you were saying, you know, aside from us having to sandpaper parts of your head to make sure that the contacts were getting as close as possible to your brain, we had an EMT there. You were getting a little bit ornery and wiped out, and you were feeling weird when this was happening, right?
I was feeling very weird. Towards the end, I was getting very lightheaded, and my pulse was racing, and I was just supposed to take it easy there, but at least the hardest part was over with. I thought really hard.
So, again, at that point in time, we were actually, at that time, our laboratory was set up in the basement of Forrest Connor's house. And that location will remain undisclosed because, as I said earlier, sometimes the neighbors don't like it if you're doing experiments from time to time, you know, opening a portal to hell, for example.
No, they don't have brownouts either.
And so we did the experiment, and everything went perfectly as planned after an enormous amount of elaborate setup. For around an hour until we just produced so much energy, everything burned out, and we're just kind of sitting there looking at each other, waiting to see what's going to happen. And nothing that exciting really happened. And we were kind of disappointed, obviously. And in fact, Josh Orak, he'd been spending the better part of a week with us anyway, traveling around, and so there was a big build-up to this, and he shot all kinds of great footage that'll be, I'm sure, like DVD extras and behind-the-scenes kind of stuff. But anyway, so we were like, okay, well, I guess we did it, and it doesn't work. So Josh Orak goes home. There are no cameras around. We start getting our lives back in order. And then About 7 days later, things began to happen. And it was a delayed reaction, which the more I think about it makes sense, because I guess once you create something that is non-physical, I presume it takes time for physical matter to kind of condense around it, which is also similar to what happens, I believe, in your movie based on the script, right, Todd?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. There is that, after the experiment, that idea of the slow kind of build and manifestation and kind of this thing becoming more physical into sort of this full body, you know, apparition. So,
I mean, it's almost chilling that this seems to be exactly what was happening. And sometimes when it comes to paranormal stuff, you don't realize what's happening while it's happening. Because it's just so weird and unexpected. It's only like after the fact you start looking at putting the pieces together. And the first thing I noticed was about 7 days later, a lot of the light bulbs around the lab started just blowing left and right. And when we weren't even doing anything that was high powered, we started getting shocks off of everything that was metal around. And here is when it sort of occurred to me, okay, this may have worked. I was in the lab by myself one night, and Forrest here, being a good Southerner, he always has a firearm nearby, and he's and so here I am in the laboratory, and I hear these heavy footsteps coming down the stairs. Forrest is a big guy, and I turned around and I saw what I at that time thought was just a very large dark shadow. And so I said, "Don't shoot me, Forrest. You know, it's me. It's Joshua." And then the footsteps kind of stopped. And I waited for, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds. And then I turn around. And now I realize, is Forrest playing a joke on me or something? Because, you know, Forrest and I have known each other over 10 years. There was a time when we would prank each other and stuff. And so at that point, I turned and I walked over to the steps and I looked around and I didn't see anybody. And I said, "Forrest?" No response. Well, turns out I was the only person in that entire building. Isn't that correct, Forrest?
Forrest was out of town that weekend.
You were even gone.
Okay. I was.
And I didn't even know that. And I'm telling you, those footsteps were so tangible. And what I thought at the time was a shadow obviously was not a shadow. It was a shadowy form. And here's what one of the reasons I thought maybe you were going to play a trick on me, Forrest, is because it looked like the shadow had like a head dress or some kind of like a helmet on. It looked like the head was larger. And I wasn't thinking at the time, that tiki doll has a big, crazy-looking head.
It does.
So instantly, I started getting a little freaked out, and I don't know, Todd, if you've gone to my website, Joshua P. Warren, and looked at joshuapwarren.com and looked at some of the pictures from the experiment, but you can see I posted some, and you can see what this doll looks like. So, and you also see Shelley there with all this stuff hooked up to her head. So after that, okay, now the next time I saw you, Forrest, I told you, I said, you know, there's a ghost in this place. And then it just kept picking up over a period of, I'm thinking there was maybe like a week of intense activity, and then it dwindled off again. Cabinets were flying open. Objects were strewn, just like in the bathroom. You remember that, Forrest?
I do.
I mean, objects were moving around. I started hearing scratching on the walls, and I asked you if there was some kind of vermin or something, if we need to put some traps out. I mean, it was just one thing after another, and at one point we sat down and we said, "My God, this worked." It took it like a week to kick in, but we actually created something. Now, granted, we've done a lot of other experiments, and so we can't be certain about the cause and effect. We fried out our equipment, so we need to get new equipment. But here is when things, right when they really started to climax for us. What happened to the electrical system in your entire house?
Well, I came home from work one evening, and I went and said, "Okay, I'm going to cook a can of soup." So, turned on the stove to heat the soup up. I turned on the stove.
I tell you what, let's take a break, and then we'll get back to what Forrest experienced, and you'll see that this is fiction becoming truth. And that doesn't happen very often, but this, it's amazing. That's what this movie, The Apparition, is all about. Comes out next Friday. It's going to be packed out, so get your tickets early. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back with the director of The Apparition, Todd Lincoln. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Apparition, and it may be one of the most important films ever made, because as you can hear, the logic behind the premise, as it turns out, is very sound. It works, and we know that better than anybody on the planet, because I read Todd Lincoln's script and I said, we can do this, and we did it. And by George, if it didn't actually work. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. We're about to get Forrest to tell us more about what happened to him after we did the experiment. First off, let me ask you, Todd, this must be pretty wild for you to know that you wrote this, and now you're listening to us talk about what actually happened, huh?
Well, yeah. No, this is an exciting, surreal time, and I mean, look, I feel at home with you guys. This, you know, this is the stuff that I'm into, and why I do the things I do. You know, searching for the truth and pushing things. And no, I mean, this is the big payoff for me. So, I'm excited about, you know, coming to the lab and seeing what you guys do and opening up even more doors.
Absolutely. Okay, so Forrest, let's continue with what you were saying before the break here. We'll start with some of the alarms, for one thing.
Okay, yeah, about a week or so after we did this experiment, I have a security system at the house to keep the bad people from breaking in the middle of the night. And middle of the night, one night, I hear the the motion sensor going off for the downstairs basement door. And I was like, go downstairs, of course. Nothing's there, and I figure, okay, it might just be a bad battery on the motion sensor. So, change the batteries out, sleep the rest of the night. The next night, same thing happens again. This happened, I believe, four nights in a row, the motion sensor kept going off. And about the third night is when I called Joshua. I was like, Joshua, there's something going on here. We need to get some sensors over here and check this out. And so, this happens on the fourth night, and I was like, called Joshua again. I was like, Joshua, we really need to get someone over here and get this checked out. And as I'm going back up the stairs, I hit the lights to go up the stairs, and sparks shoot out of the electrical socket that turn the light on. It's like, oh boy. So next day I'm cooking. I said I'm going to cook some soup, get home from work, and hit the fan above the range.
Mm-hmm.
Sparks fly out of the switch there, and then I turn the oven on. As I turn the oven on, the lights in my living room come on.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I know a little bit about electricity. This is not supposed to happen. So turn the oven off. Lights go off in the living room. I was like, okay, I'm leaving the house. I went down to the main circuit breaker and just turned everything in the house off. And I called a buddy. He's like, hey, can I spend the night at your house tonight? And I called the power company the next day. Power company comes out and is like, well, we've got some bad news for you. The leads going into your house are melted, and it was causing an arc from one lead to the other, which powers the house. So when I turned the oven on, which is a 220, it was arcing to the other lead, which was a 110, to turn my living room lights on.
Wow. So the whole system of the house was being exposed to these really strong energy fields that just kept on pervading everything. And in fact, we ended up, of course, moving the lab to a whole different area. We now have it in a whole new location. And in the meantime, however, Forrest, your fiance Kelly moved into the house. And Kelly, you have not heard any of this tonight, and I've been watching you as we've been talking about it, and you actually said during the break, A, this explains all the stuff that's been happening to me, and B, why didn't you tell me about this before we are moving? So, Kelly, what have you seen down there since we've done this experiment?
Well, I moved in. I was having issues.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about the first month I moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I would wake up at night and look, and it seems to be concentrated around the kitchen and the hallway, down to the bedroom. But I've never seen anything anywhere else.
And you said Forrest woke up one night and did something really
creepy. Oh, Lord, yeah, that was
now,
just about...
Now, listen to this, Todd. You're going to like this, okay?
Forrest woke up one night, and he was looking at the upper corner of the bedroom, and just... He looked like he was talking, but he wasn't saying anything through it. And I kept asking him, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? And he wouldn't respond to me for a couple of minutes, and he just kept looking, at the ceiling, like something was moving up there.
Now, Todd, isn't there a scene just from the trailer where one of the characters is lying in bed, and he wakes up or something like that, and there is a mirror image of himself on the ceiling?
Yeah, he just showed that to me in the trailer, but, I mean, he told me that y'all did experiments, but he's never really gone into... I've never heard these stories from him before, so...
Yeah. So, Todd, what is that scene about in your movie?
Well, I'm trying to keep it a secret in some ways and let people experience in a fresh way. But it's just creepy hearing you guys describe this because, there is a scene like this in the apparition of, somebody waking up and seeing their kind of almost double or doppelganger, I guess you could say, below them and in the apparition we touch on various aspects of different paranormal experiences of outer body experiences and doppelganger type stuff and of course residual things left behind as this kind of apparition begins to take physical form and leave traces and hints of itself. So and there's lots of psychological horror aspects of this and, things sort of messing with your mind and small unexplained things happening around the house, but then building and ramping up and, until you're just on this kind of terrifying thrill ride. Very strange that this stuff is all kind of happening and becoming a reality and fiction that was kind of inspired by fact and real incidents now becoming even more fact. So
well, maybe you're kind of psychic, and I mean you envisioned that this is what would happen, and which would make sense as a writer. You're always trying to look into the future and and determine cause and effect and how these things would naturally develop and evolve. And by the way, I was hoping we could get Mobius in here tonight. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. Mobius, of course, as you know, has a very weird schedule, and sometimes he sleeps late and then he's up all night. So if we can't get him tonight, fine, but we are definitely wanting to work on, of course, some big follow-up experiments to this, which we'll get to in a minute. But let me ask you first, Todd, I know there are so many different places where people can learn more about this film on the Internet. Is there a particular website or Facebook page or anything like that that you want to tell everybody about?
Well, you know, I don't have the exact address down, but if you do a simple Google search for The Apparition and maybe also put in Warner Brothers, the official Warner Brothers Apparition page will come right up. And then also on Facebook, if you just type in on the Facebook search The Apparition, then the official Facebook page for The Apparition will come up, the Warner Brothers page. And then there's lots of different, you know, film clips and the trailer and different, you know, paranormal facts and some links to, you know, stuff that you're doing, and all on the official Apparition Facebook page. And so I think those are the main places. And, of course, I'm posting stuff all the time on my Twitter page, which is at Todd_Lincoln. And so I'm always posting far-out stuff on there and little tidbits about the film as we quickly approach release this Friday. So,
and, of course, we will make sure that the speakingofstrange.com website has all the best links for everybody's convenience as well. We have a couple minutes before our next break here, Todd. Since you've been working on this project for years now, has any spooky, creepy stuff started to happen in your life?
Well, I hesitate to even say anything, but I mean, it's you know, there are times where, you know, I think I have seen something out of the corner of my eye or in the corner of a bedroom or something moving past the end of a hallway, and it really is that, you know, the kind of that thing that we've read so much about, that kind of shadow person, shadow people kind of thing. And you know, I have no proof of this, and I can't be totally sure, but yeah, there are moments of very strange stuff, and you know, and I've experienced that kind of you know, sleep paralysis type stuff, and you know, and of course I don't know, but basically there's been lots of just bad personal stuff after my life since the film, of lots of people, you know, close family or friends of friends, you know, passing away and people kind of dropping like flies. So, look, I'm just hoping we did not open Pandora's box here, and if we did, we can find a way to close it.
All right, the curse of the apparition, my friends. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will ask Todd Lincoln about some of the things that he would like to do to follow up on this. You know, we're going to talk about the next step. What does all this mean? He's the director of The Apparition. It comes out this Friday, August 24th. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news of the past couple weeks. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. If you want an idea of just how truly crazy and bizarre our world is becoming, stick around for that. Right now, I'm wrapping up my conversation with Todd Lincoln. He is the director of the new major motion picture called The Apparition. And it comes out this coming Friday, August 24th. And, you know, if you've been listening, you know, you've heard that this has become more than just something that Todd Lincoln imagined and wrote in a screenplay. Turns out there is a true, real, tangible phenomenon here. And we know that better than anybody because we did the experiment that he wrote about, and I'll be darned if it didn't work. So go to joshuapwarren.com if you want to see some pictures of what the lab looked like. And, of course, there will be a lot of footage coming out over time of things that we did there. But now, Todd, I mean, I know you're a very busy guy. You're working on some upcoming projects, and I know that you can't talk about a lot of that, but in terms of what's happened with the apparition, what would you like to see happen now as the next step, since, you know, you are perfectly poised to do more than push forth filmmaking, but push forth technology and human understanding?
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, my next soonest, most likely project to happen, my next feature film is planning to be The Nye Incident, which is based on this Whitley Strieber graphic novel. And Whitley Strieber has become a close friend, a consultant, in the same way that you were for The Apparition. And, you know, it's a really new, grounded, outside-the-box, terrifying take on alien abductions and these alien mutilations that have been happening, these bodies turning up. And, you know, just really trying to make a grounded, relatable, terrifying, iconic horror film that touches on alien abductions and gets away from all the pop culture go-to look of, you know, the gray aliens and the big eyes on every sticker and skateboard deck now, and get away from all the UFOs hovering over the cities and the metallic sci-fi instruments. And basically, Whitley's opened his files to me, and the stuff that I'm reading from these real incidents this is based on, and these testimonials, is that it's just so different and so much more horrifying than anything we've seen in the movies or TV shows. So, again, just trying to keep things honest and authentic and, you know, really capture what it feels like to be abducted from your home and things standing in your own suburban backyard watching you through your windows. And so The Nye Incident is most likely the next up on deck film. And, of course, and that's at RKO Pictures, and I'm producing and directing that. And there's over at Mandalay Pictures, there's Twittering from the Circus of the Dead, which is based on a short story by Joe Hill, who, of course, has written Horns and 20th Century Ghosts and does the Lock and Key graphic novel. And that is a crazy and unique as its title, Twittering from the Circus of the Dead. And it's sort of part Texas Chainsaw Massacre, part Carnival of Souls, and part Eyes Wide Shut. And it's really taken on this weird journey of this teenage girl and her family on this road trip, and all kinds of things happening. So, and beyond that, you know, I just, you know, look, I'm fascinated with what you guys are doing, and, you know, I would love just in real life to, you know, get behind some of these experiments and test new theories. And, but I have to say that, you know, out of all things, you guys focused on a tiki doll. Of course, you have the 1980s film Weird Science, where two teenagers focus on creating Kelly LeBrock. so I may have some suggestions for other stuff we could be focusing on or creating.
I could not agree more. And and since we only have a couple minutes here, speaking of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, for me, one of the pleasures of going out there and working with you guys on the set was that at one point, you know, I'm sitting in the shuttle going back to the parking lot next to your director of photography. Turns out it's Daniel Pearl, the guy who shot Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I handpicked Daniel Pearl to shoot this movie, and, yeah, in 1973 he shot Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then he shot the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake and the Friday the 13th remake and some all kinds of music videos for Michael Jackson and Guns N' Roses and all this iconic stuff. So he's sort of like the Indiana Jones of cinematographers. He has so many wild stories and adventures he's been on. And so we were really in the trenches together, and he wanted to treat this stuff with respect and get it right. And we also, our production designer, Steve Sacklid, had done the production design for Sammy's Drag Me to Hell and the movie Up in the Air. And our composers, Tom and Andy, had, scored The Strangers and The Hills Have Eyes. And so, you know, we really assembled this dream team, and having you as the expert consultant and getting all the gear and theories right and wording right, and the actors really appreciated that, and it really informed their characters and performance. We were setting out to fight the good fight within the studio system, create this, grounded, sexy, scary, terrifying horror film, and maybe will inspire other people to do their own experiments.
All right, well, Todd, the clock has got us. Hey, congratulations. You deserve it. Thanks so much for what you're doing to marry real research with fantastic entertainment. I know it's going to be a big hit, and I look forward to working with you on future projects. Todd Lincoln, everybody, director of The Apparition. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back.